It's a tremendous kavod to have Mori Varabi, Hagon Rav Sacks, Rosh Yeshiva, here with us. And Rav Sacks, for me, was my first Rebbe who he really built me, and he took me under his wing and gave me what I needed at your age. And it's always important for me to express that if anyone gets anything from me in this yeshiva, so then we have to go back to the roots. And it's a tremendous kavod to have my Rebbe, Rav Sacks.
Okay, thank you very much. It really is a pleasure. We measure our success as a Rebbe in terms of the emergence of Talmidim. And Baruch Hashem, you're zochet to have Rav Stark with you. Take advantage of every opportunity. Today I was told that this is a sicha, and then Mirza Hashem, I'll be giving, a shir as well, a shir bi'iyun, a little bit later in the week. But simply, these parshios raise a very fundamental question. The Rambam in Perek Vavav Hilchos Tshuva, that how is it possible that Paro, the Mitzrim, were punished, if after all, part of the Bris Ben Abisarim was Vavado V'ino Samar Bami Yoshana. If this was part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told to Avram Avinu, and therefore Paro the Mitzrim were simply a tool in what was already predetermined, so how is it that you punish? And if the Torah tells us time after time after time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardens the heart of Paro, so therefore is it really fair that the Paro the Mitzrim somehow are worthy of such a significant onish? The Rambam does write in Perek Vav Halacha Gimel of Hilchos Tshuva that sometimes a person can make terrible decisions in life and a Kadosh Baruch Hu suspends the opportunity for tshuva. And therefore, maybe earlier on, yes, but Paro, enslaving Knesset Yisrael, the intensity of the Shiva, the Avodas Parech, killing all the Zecharim, time and time and time again, sometimes you can't just simply say that, you know, I made a mistake and I'm sorry. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times indeed prevents a person from taking advantage of a gift of tshuva. And the Rambam, then in Halacha Hey, writes that you should recognize that even though there was a gzeira, vavadu v'inos arbami yoshana, it doesn't exonerate each and every individual. The Rambam writes that, look, the Torah tells us that there'll always be aniyim, there'll always be ashirim, this is the mashal of the Rambam. But imagine, a person is never going to be mishtalda in life because the Torah says there are going to be aniyim. It's true, there will be aniyim, but it is your choice whether you're going to be in this category, in that category. And therefore, the Rambam writes that Paro in the midstream, they exercised their absolute bechira, and therefore they're worthy of punishment. When you look in the Ravid, the Hasagas Ravid in Perek Vav Vilchos Tshuva, this is also a Ramban in Bereishis in Perek Tesvav Pasuk Yedalid. There, the Ravid writes the following, that it's true that there was a gzera of sheep, of avdus, but you know what? Paro and the Mitzrim overreached. The gzera did not necessarily entail avodas parech. The gzera did not entail kol ben hayilod harat hashlichuhu. That was a decision of Paro and the Mitzrim. And therefore, they are punished for overreaching. That's what the Ramban writes as well. I'll tell you a fascinating mashal of Rav Yosef Salant. He writes this. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, go to Paro, take a mate, turn it into a nachash, and somehow that's going to be significant. Moshe Rabbeinu does so, and obviously the Mitzvim are certainly not impressed by that gvura. That's gvura Hashem, to take a mate and to turn it into a nachash. Kriyas Yamsuf, Makas Becharos, that's gvura Hashem. But as Rashi quotes the name of the Medrash, the Tevenach, the Machlis, the Ephraim, you know, you go to an agricultural society and you bring grain. That's commonplace. You go to Mitzrayim and you demonstrate what in their eyes was Kishuv. That's not impressive. Anybody could do that. The Khartoum and Mitzrayim were able to do that as well. Maybe not to the extent of Moshe Rabbeinu, but on a smaller level, they were able to regulate what Moshe Rabbeinu did. And sure enough, the Mitzrayim were not convinced by this great os of Moshe Rabbeinu taking a matah and turning it into a nachash. So you can't help but wonder, what exactly was its purpose? And maybe the answer is the following. You know, that Ravid in Perek Vav Hilchos Teshuva says that, you know, there is a pasuk in Yeshayah in Perek Yud that Hayashur Shevet Api. Sometimes the Umos Solam are like a shevet, a stick in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know, I'll tell you the following. There is a Gemara, Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Ches. Imagine the following. A person takes a stick and he clubs someone. He beats the guy up. No? A person takes a gun and he shoots. Right? He takes a bow and arrow and all of a sudden he inflicts lethal damage. Yeah. And I turn to the guy and I say, like, how in the world? How could you do such a thing? And imagine a guy were to say to me the following. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. I'm not a rotzeach. It was the stick. It was the bullet. It was the gun. It was the arrow. You know, you're going to turn to that person and say, are you for real that a stick, an arrow, a bullet, a gun, those are tools. Those are weapons. You're a rotzeach. You're the rotzeach. Okay. That very same Gemara, Sener Ayin Ches, imagine I entice a snake. Hishchech bo asanachash. And the snake attacks and kills someone. Guess what? I'm not a rotzeach. That's called a grama. In Ezekiel, that's called a gram ritzicha. I'm not the murderer. A snake is an independent mazik, an independent aggressor. A mate is just simply a tool, a weapon. Imagine Paro were to tell us that, you know, you're faulting me. What do you mean? The pasuk. Hayashur shevet api. I'm just a shevet. I'm a tool. This was the gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, the Ravid and the Ramban write that this wasn't the gzeira. You overreached. You were an independent aggressor. An independent aggressor. Ooh, so, you know the purpose of the first dose? To demonstrate that the mata changed into a nachash. That wasn't to show Gvuras Hashem. But that was to set the stage of what's about to happen. Paro, the Mitzim are going to experience their downfall. And if someone would dare argue that, what do you mean? We were just a mate, a shevet, a tool to fulfill the bris ben abasarim. The answer is absolutely not. Paro, the Mitzim are the prime example of a mate that flips and turns into a nachash, and therefore, ooh, the Raiva, the Ramban, they're worthy of absolute punishment. And then the Ramban gives another related teretz. Again, I want you to look up this Ramban. Where is it? Reishis? Tesvav Yadalid? No? You have to make sure to see this. The Ramban writes the following. Now, I'm going to give you a hakdama, okay? Hakdama may take about 15 minutes, but this is a hakdama. You ready? There is a sugim sachim daf nun, brachas daf yed zayin, tainas daf zayin. When do you assume ito shalol lishma bal lishma? A person goes and does something, shalol lishma. Okay, what am I going to tell that guy? Don't bother. Don't bother. Why engage in esek pator, liman ha-mitzvah shalol lishma? You know what I'm going to tell that person? Mitoch shalol lishma bal lishma. It's a complicated sugya. Mitoch shalol lishma bal lishma. If you want to see a fascinating maramakom, marach or zarua, kuf samach gimel, that discusses the concept of mitoch shalol lishma bal lishma, great, 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 great chedusha. But you know, sometimes we don't assume that's true. Sometimes we don't assume mitosh lo lishma bal lishma. Let me give you an example. A Gemara in Yevamos Daf Gimel, later in Daf Lametes. Let's assume when it comes to Yibum. Yibum. A person, Rachman al-Islam, the brother dies, there are no children. He's obligated in the midst of Yibum. You know, when you look at the parsha in the Torah, Yibum Chalitza, what's preferable? Obviously, mitzvah Yibum. Kodemis la mitzvah chalitza. No? Yibum, yibum. Unfortunately, if you're not willing to, then there's chalitza. Do we practice yibum bizman hazeh? No. We don't because of Abishol. That's our practice of Ashkenazim. No, we don't do yibum bizman hazeh because Abishol says the following, in those sugyas, brachos daf gimel, yevamos daf gimel, yevamos lametes, that what do you mean? What's the mindset of the yava? What's the mindset of the yava? Maybe he's doing it for an ulterior motive. Maybe he's doing it l'shem noi, l'shem ishus, l'shem davar acher, l'shem mamon. You know, if he does yibum, he's yoresh an additional chelek. Not only his, but that of his brother as well. Maybe he really desires to be married to this woman, and therefore his kavana is not really squeaky clean. He's doing though for other reasons, other reasons. You know what Abishol says? If you do yibum for the wrong reason, ki'ilu pogeya be'erva. That's a tragic chait. That's a tragic chait. The Ramban writes a din deraisa. A din deraisa. that if you don't have the proper mindset for Yibum, ki'ilu pogeya be'erv. I ask you a simple question. Why is that true? Ideally, you should do it for the right reasons. Yeah, but psachim daf nun mito shalo lishma, balishma. Since when is the motivation so critical that I would say don't do it? You know, this guy spent $500 on his dalet minim. And I ask him, like, why did you do that? And he tells me, to be honest, because I want everybody to come over to me and ask if I can be notel your lulav and esrog. So when I say to a person, don't be notel, don't make a bracha, because you're not doing so absolutely lishma. Certainly not. No, we would say, you know, that's not ideal. I want you to work on yourself. But I wouldn't say it's an aveira, it's inappropriate, it's not ideal, but it's a kiyum hamitzvah, is it not? And therefore, why don't I say the same thing when it comes to Yibum as well? When it comes to Yibum as well. Let me give you an example. Now, this is based on a Beis Halevi in Shmos Perek Beis. Oh, Baruch Hashem. No, a couple years down the road. Your wife is expecting. She goes into labor. You have to go to the hospital on Shabbos. You know, we're so used to in Chutz La'aretz now, so you know what? Call the non-Jewish driver and see if you can get the non-Jewish driver to take you to the hospital. Oh, mutar l'chatchila, no? Shabbos, chavtesh, shulchan arshim chavches, that ayidei Yaakov. Let me throw out the following argument, no? Tell me if you think this is right. I call the taxi, I say, is there a Jewish driver? Is there a Jewish driver? He says, yeah, there happens to be. No, unfortunately, there happens to be a Jewish driver there. Send the Jewish driver. Why send a Jewish driver? I'm Rilakum. Better the Jewish driver should be taking me to the hospital than taking the next call. The next call's to the game. The next call's to the restaurant. No? Let him at least be violating these malachos for pikuach nefesh than doing this for a casual reason. That's the din in the Beis Halev. Is that really true? Is it better to ask for the Jewish driver who will be Mechal Shabbos, so to speak, but under the heter of Pikuach Nefesh, then simply taking someone to the game, which is Chil Shabbos, Daraisa. What exactly is the din of, the Beis Halevi? Dechias Yisurim, Pikuach Nefesh is Doche Shabbos. Does that require Kavanas Agavra? For you and me, we would never be Mechal Shabbos, no? The only reason we're doing it is because Pikuach Nefesh is Doche Shabbos. That's a mitzvah rabbah. The taxi driver shows up. He'll take you anywhere you want to go. Pikuach Nefesh is not on his radar screen. It so happens, incidentally, that this is a case of Pikuach Nefesh. But if this was not Pikuach Nefesh, he would take you across the street to the restaurant. Is that Chilul Shabbos? Or is that a mitzvah above Pikuach Nefesh? Does Dechias Isurim require Lishma? Does that require Lishma? Ooh, that's a heavy issue. If I had time, I don't think I do. No, I once wrote that Rabbis Lashitase in three sugyas, Moikatnan Daf Beis, Imsachin Daf Menvav, Imenachas Daf Samav Dalet. Three Lashitases of Rabbi regarding this issue. But you know what the Chazon Ish writes? Dechias Yisurim requires Lishma. In the Lulav case, there's an Isser. Then there's no Isser. Mito Shalo Lishma Balishma. But you know what? Here, there's an override. This is something that I would typically never do. But the Torah says, you know, there's an override. Maybe Hutra, maybe Duchuya, maybe a Dariyotzim and Aklau. But at times, maybe not always, but at times, if there's an override, you better make sure that your mindset is squeaky clean. You're taking the person to the hospital because of Pikuach Nefesh, not to make $20 and you would take them anywhere. Maybe that's called an act of Chilul Shabbos. I'll tell you a chiddush of the Beis Halevi that I think is very important for Bnei Torah. That very Beis Halevi, Shmos Perek Beis, writes that just like Dechias Yisurim requires Kavanas Agavra, you know what else requires Kavanas Agavra? Ones Rachmana Patri requires Kavanas Agavra. What does that mean? Now you're learning Ksuvis. You did the Segevesh on the Spagitin. No, I'm sure, no? So what happens? A guy is Megarish, his wife, Altnai, Imlobasi. And he's doing everything he possibly can to return, and all of a sudden what happens? That's it, the bridge is out, the ferries aren't running, good, terrible weather, all the flights are canceled, the trains aren't going. Okay, Dikar din daraisis, yesh onus begitten. Let me ask you the following question. The same conditions, right? The bridge is out, the ferries aren't running, flights are canceled, trains aren't running, but the guy never made any effort to come. Not the case in the Gemara Daf Gimel, where he's doing everything he possibly can to show up, and there's an onus. The guy was not interested in showing up. But even had he tried, he couldn't have gotten there. Is that yesh onus begitten? Certainly not, no? What does the onus have to do with his failure to return? The onus had nothing to do with that. Oh, the Beis Halevi writes, just like the Chiyas Yisrim requires Kavanas Agavra, onus Rachmana Pacha requires Kavanas Agavra as well. Beis Halevi writes this in the name of, the Hafla, Nafgamina Daraisa, the Hafla writes. Onus Rachmana Pacha requires Kavanas Agavra, where you know what? Where the only reason you're not is because of the onus. The Hafla writes something unbelievable. No, Tosus writes, Endik Suvis. Did you do that Kofiyut yet? Not yet? Maybe my next trip? No, I want you to finish the Masechta. No? Tosus writes, we can't get to Eretz Yisrael because of Sakanas Drachim. No? In their time, they couldn't get from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. So you know what the Beis Halevi is saying in the Hafla? But there were two different types of Jews. There were Jews who yearned to be in Eretz Yisrael who couldn't get there. And there were some Jews who were very happy being in Chutz Laaretz. The Beis Halevi writes, there's a world of difference between those two Jews. No? The Jew who would do everything he can to be there, but he can't because of Sakanas Drachim, that's Onas Rachmana Patrei. The person who, it's not even on the radar screen, Suvas Daf Gimel, he's not interested in returning. That's not Onas Rachmana Patrei, no? You can have two Yidden in Chutz Laaretz, one who was punished for being Chutz Laaretz, one who was not, even though neither one could have gotten there. But for me, I'm not interested in being there. I'm the taxi driver. But not for him. He's yearning to be there, but he can't get there because of Sakanas Drachim. That's pretty important, no? Whoa. I will tell you, this is a real important lesson for Bnei Torah. You know why? There is a Gemara Menachos of Tzadites. You're not allowed to forget your learning. You're such a thing. You're not allowed to forget your learning. Kol mishakeh tavrecha b'muda over belosase. You can't forget your learning. So you're going to tell me, I can't forget my learning. You know, like, it's like an onus, you know? That people forget. It happens once in a while. People forget things, no? Like, what do you mean, I can't forget? So you know what I'm going to tell you? Forgetting your learning is onus rachmana patrei. But only if, no? You put in all the effort. You know, you chazer the sugya dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And there's something you forget. I'm not sure the Tana was, the Mora was. Okay, I'll grant you. Onas Rachmana Patrei. But you only chazer the Shir, you only chazer the Gemara 4 times, 5 times. But that's Onas Rachmana Patrei. I'm telling you, you're not going to remember. You're not going to remember the Ksuvas if you don't really chazer systematically. And that's not Onas Rachmana Patrei. The reason he doesn't remember is because he chazered 20 times. And the reason you don't remember is because he didn't chazer 20 times. His Onas Rachmana Patrei, both of you don't really know the Gemara. That's okay. No, but you have to chazer. Otherwise, what do you mean? Then how can that possibly be? But that, I would tell you, is an unbelievable yesod. And that is that sometimes the mindset, the motivation, that's critical. Dichias Yisurim. So you know who says this about Dichias Yisurim in Yibum? A Chazanish. Okay, but I want you to look this up. No? The Chazanish is found, Ebenezer, Kuf Chavtes, Sivkat Yivgemel. Kuf Chavtes, Sivkat Yivgemel. The Chazanish writes, that's the key to the Yibum case. That, you know what? This is something that typically is also. Yibum is an issa daraisa of Eish Yisach, if not for the mitzvah. There's an override. This isn't a dvar rishus. Marrying her sister-in-law is a chiyuv kares. But the mitzvah of Yibum is doche. And Abba Shol Shita is that the mitzvah of Yibum is not hutra, it's not lonemra, it's a dechiyah. Push comes to shove. A overrides B. But just like pikoach nefesh is doche Shabbos. But you need Kavana Sagavra. And therefore, if you don't take a lulav and esrog for the right reason, okay, you know, that's not ideal. But you don't do Yibum for the right reason, ki'ilo pogeya be'erva. Wow. I'll tell you the chiddush of the Chafetz Chaim, but you're not going to believe it. No, and maybe you shouldn't believe it, because I want you to take a look at it inside. No, Chafetz Chaim ala Torah, then the Parshas Truma. You ready? You ready for this? If you don't like the Chiddush, you don't have to apply to our yeshiva. No? But if you walk away like, wow, then I want you to apply to the yeshiva. Okay? Listen to this. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. No? You ready for this? Whew. Shaul HaMelech is criticized because he was told to wipe out Amalek. And he didn't complete the job. No, he let Agag live. He let Agag live. And that's not good. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Timche, and he didn't cross the finish line. He didn't cross the finish line. He killed thousands, but he didn't finish the job. Okay, you know what? In life, you have to finish the job. You have to do that. Okay. So Shaul HaMelech was punished because he didn't finish the job. You know what the Chafetz Chaim writes? That's not what the Pasuk says. You know what the Pasuk says regarding Shaul HaMelech? Vatas hara be'enei Hashem. That which Shaul HaMelech did was ra b'enei Hashem. What do you mean, that which he did was ra b'enei Hashem? That which Shaul HaMelech did was good. He just didn't do enough, no? Imagine that, you know what? You learned almost every blot of the Masechta, and he left out one daf, no? So I'm going to say, just finish, no? I'm going to say, the learning that you did was, Rachman Litzlan, no, Ra b'ni Hashem. That was a Tzivu Hashem. Why would you call that Ra? The Pasuk should have said that V'lo Asa, that Shaul HaMelech didn't complete the task, but not Fatas Ra b'ni Hashem. So you ready for this? Unbelievable. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you to wipe out a nation. Timche Zeichar Amalek. Men, women, children. Why in the world would you do such a thing? You know what the right answer is? Not because I get a charge out of doing that, or not because like I enjoy killing people, or I'm bloodthirsty, I'm vindictive. You know why you do such a thing? Because Baruch Hashtav Yud. Ma demifkadasi boylech lemeva. Kadosh Baruch Hu says jump. You know what the answer is? How high? Kadosh Baruch Hu says walk. You march. That's why you do it. Because it's a Tzivu Hashem. You don't fully understand the Tzivu Hashem. Why is that so surprising? You don't have divine wisdom. So you don't fully understand the Tzivu Hashem. That's okay. But you know what? Ma demifkadasi boylech lemeva. Kadosh Baruch Hu says do. You have to do. That's it. The Chafetz Chaim writes, unbelievable. Ooh. Shaul HaMelech, Lefi Madregas. Shaul HaMelech was great. He let Agag live. He deviated from the Dvar Hashem. You know what that indicated? That apparently the mindset was not purely fulfilling the Dvar Hashem. If the mindset was purely fulfilling the Dvar Hashem, how do you deviate? How do you even let one person live? If the mindset was not purely, l'fi madregaso, l'shem shamayim, you know what that means? The Shaul HaMelech was held accountable for every member of Amalek that he killed. Because this is a dechiyas isurim. You're normally not allowed to go ahead and wipe out a nation. The only matir is the Tzivu Hashem. And if you deviate from that, you're held responsible for Vatasara be'ini Hashem. That's pretty unbelievable. Sometimes you say mito shelo lishma balishma. But sometimes the Kavanas Agavra is critical, where the mitzvah is telling you to override that which typically the Torah would forbid. Whether it's Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos, or whether it's Yibum and Eshesach, or whether it's Nisr of Ritzicha, where the Torah says there are clearly built-in exclusions, there's no mito shelo lishma balishma. That's something that's absolutely critical. And Rav Slavichik once pointing out the following. You know, Brachos Chavches. Chazal felt it was necessary to add a bracha to Shemoneh Esrei, the bracha of V'lamashinim. And that's not a very joyous bracha. The bracha of V'lamashinim. No. Chazal described, that Gemara, Chavches, that who is worthy of coining such a bracha? Who's going to be the one who's going to author such a bracha? V'lamashinim al sitikfa. No, who's going to say such a thing? No? The Gemara says, you know, the answer is, who is it who was masakin that bracha? Shmuel HaKatan. Shmuel HaKatan. Rav Soloveitchik once said the following. You know what? Maseches Avos, Shmuel HaKatan. Binfol oyivcha al tismach. Shmuel HaKatan, that was his, like, statement, no? Don't rejoice at the downfall of your enemy. You know, ask you a simple question. No? In yeshivas, unfortunately, you know, we don't really learn Tanakh so much. No? So, binfol yivcha al tismach, yeah, Mishnah Maseches Avos. No, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. No? Binfol yivcha al tismach. That's Shmuel HaKatan? Shmuel HaKatan Omer binfol yivcha al tismach? Really? It's a pasuk in Mishlei. You know what the simple answer is? That's not what Shmuel HaKatan said. That's who Shmuel HaKatan was. Oh, that's what the Tashbetz writes. That's the meaning of Maseches Avos of Hu Haya Omer. Hu Haya Omer means time and time and time again. When I would mention the name Shmuel HaKatan, you know what would come to mind? Binfol yivcha al tismach. That's the Tana who is Masakin the Bracha of Lamashim. Because that's Lishma. That's Lishma. When you lead a life of Binfol yivcha al tismach, you know what, then, if it becomes unfortunately necessary to have such a bracha, a birchas aminim, but you have to make sure you're not doing it with a smile, you're not doing it with a light heart, you're doing so with the heavy heart of binfol yivcha al tismach. You know who writes this chiddush? A Rambam, perchav dalef of Chasanhedrin. The Rambam writes, you know, sometimes a dayan has the responsibility of makin va'onshin Shalom and Hadin. Sometimes a dayan has to go above and beyond the halacha. You know, the halacha declares to put someone to death, you need unbelievable. Now, Edim, Hasra, Yatiras Milamisa, Amanas Kenani Yosef. How often in life do you have those conditions? No? But the Joshua Saran, Joshua Aleph, you know what? That's why you have a melech. A melech has to balance. And if you don't have a melech, the shofet has to do so. And the Rambam, you better make sure that that's Lishma. That's the beautiful comment to the Ran. Where do you see that it has to be absolutely Lishma? A melech can't do it because he's being vindictive. A melech has to do it because L'shem Shamayim, this is necessary for society. Ooh, because that's why the Torah insists a melech always has to have a Sefer Torah with him. Vayisimo, v'karbo kol yimei chayav. You know what? You're going to be given an elastic authority of Makan Vamsh and Shalom and Adin. You better make sure it's Lishma. And therefore, you know what? Don't move without the Sefer Torah. You're going to have a constant reminder that, you know what? You're doing this as a Shliach Hashem. You're doing this L'Shem Shemayim. So fascinating. We can learn Perchav Dal, Evilcha Sanhedrin. And the Rambam discusses all the examples of Makan Vamsh and Shalom and Adin. You know what the Rambam writes? You better make sure that this is L'Shem Shemayim. Because this is something that you're doing because of an override in unusual circumstances, extenuating conditions. There's no mitosha lo lishma balishma. You better make sure that this is squeaky clean, whether it's makin vonshin, or whether it's a birchas aminim, or whether it's mechias amalek, or chilul shabbos, or esh esach. Make sure that this is true. Make sure this is true. Okay, that's my hakdam. Okay. So one line in Ramban. One line in Ramban. Where's this Ramban? Reishis? Tesvav Yedalad. No, I want you to take a look. No? Tesvav Yedalad. The Ramban writes, Ask Paro. Ask Paro. The Ramban writes, Ask Nebuchadnezzar. Why did you persecute Klal Yisrael? Why did you persecute Klal Yisrael? Now, if they're going to be honest with you, what do you think they're going to say? You know why I did that? Because Avram Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vavadu Avinu Osam Rabbami Yoshana. There was a bris ben Abisarim, and we, L'Shem Shamayim, were a tool to fulfill the bris ben Abisarim. Ramban writes, that's what they would answer. If you were to ask Paro, why are you enslaving Mitzrayim? The answer is to fulfill the bris ben Abisarim. The Shibud Mitzrayim from the perspective of Paro and the Mitzrayim was L'Shem Shamayim to fulfill the Gzeres Hashem? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The Ramban writes that was lahagdil memshalto. That was purely for selfish interests. You have no right to enslave a nation for a selfish interest. If a person really can argue, I'm doing so absolutely shma because of the bris ben habasarim. Okay. But that was the most foreign concept to Paro and the Mitzrin. And therefore, they were worthy of punishment. Even though it so happened that that was part of the bris ben habasarim. But that was absolutely incidental. That was my taxi driver. No, who? It happened to be Bikoach Nefesh, but if it wouldn't have been part of the bris ben habasarim, Paro and the Mitzrim would have done their malicious acts. Nonetheless, those are the two terutzim of the Ramban. How is it that Paro and the Mitzrim were punished? Either they overreached, or it was Shelo Lishma. So now I'm going to tell you, based on Chafetz Chaim, those two terutzim are not unrelated. They're not unrelated. Ooh, what's the best indicator that something is not L'shem Shemayim? You know what the answer is? When you deviate from the Dvar Hashem. When you overreach. When you overreach. If your motivation is purely what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're not going to dare shift one iota. But you know what? If you're overreaching and you're going well and beyond, isn't it obvious that what's going on here is not the fulfillment lishma of the Dvar Hashem? And therefore I will tell you, the fact that Paro, in the midstream, Avodas Parach, killing the Zacharim, overreaching, that was the greatest indicator that indeed it was Shelo Lishma. And in such a case, there's no Shelo Lishma, Balishma. In such a case, right, you're worthy of absolute, right, calamitous destruction. And that's what happened. That's what happened to Paro in the midstream. It's important when it comes to aspects of Avodas Hashem. You make sure that what you're doing is L'shem Shemayim. If it's something that there's no override, mitol Shelo Lishma, Balishma. But otherwise, make sure that L'shem Shemayim. And make sure that that's true. Make sure that your Isak B'Torah is something that you see as being absolutely, absolutely part of you. Recognize that, you know, maybe you think you have certain limitations, you know? But you know what? If you learn with Amelus, in your mispalo, for siyata d'shmaya, you're going to soar. One last comment. You know, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Avos, Balbozon Hurkanes was the Bor Sud Shenem Abetip. He had a photographic mind. Never forgot anything. Whoa. So I'll tell you a very simple kasha. You know, why is that a Mishnah Maseches Avos? You know, if it's like an art story biography, that's good to know. Know that this Tana had like a photographic mind. But Maseches Avos is supposed to inform your Avodas Hashem. No? How is my Avodas Hashem so informed by the fact that Rabbi Zohar could have had like a photographic mind? So how many of you have been here a few years? Remember what I said a couple years ago? Should I stop here? No? Okay. You know what I cited? Ooh. Sukkah Chavkes. Rav Lozen Urkanes. Miyamai lo kidmani on the basement. It never happened. It never happened once that anyone ever got to the basement before I did. And it never happened once. Lo hinachti bonam v'yatsas. It never happened. I left the basement and someone else was still there. Every case, 10 out of 10, day in and day out, Rav Lozen Urkanes was the first one there and the last one out. You know, if anybody could have gotten by, like, you know, coming late and leaving early, yeah, it should have been Rav Lozen Urkanes because he had this like photographic mind. You know, you're struggling and he would come in and, you know, everything would be easy. You know what I would suggest? And I think the proof is Pirkei Rav Lozen, written by Rav Lozen Urkanes. You start reading from the beginning, you know what he describes? His struggles in learning. How little he knew. You know, that's really surprising. What do you mean? He was like a giant, a Bor Sud Shem Abetipa. He had a photographic mind. Like, what do you mean? He didn't know. Didn't know what? So you know what I think the answer is? He wasn't always the Bor Sud Shem Abetipa. That's what he became. And you know how it became that way? Because Lo Kidmani Adam. Because he was the first one in, and he was the last one out. If this is just simply how he was born, a natural faculty, this would not be a mission in Maseches Avos. What does it have to do with us? No? But it has everything to do with us, because you can struggle and you put in all your effort, right? No, onus rachman apatre, without effort. And you're mispalo for siyata deshmaya. And all of a sudden, you emerge. You accomplish things that you never thought you could accomplish. You know, when you were younger, you struggled remembering things. And all of a sudden, you're going to remember. You're going to remember these sugyas. Without chazar? Of course not without chazar. No, you're going to chazar time and time and time again. And in every Shmoneh Esrei, you're going to daven for siyata deshmaya, atachone, every Shmoneh Esrei. You know, I see a Tommy, he doesn't know the sugya. You know, I'm going to tell him, you're not davening well. You're not davening well. You know what? Your tefillin was on too late. Your tefillin was off too early. I can tell that by your learning. Because if you're mishtado and you're mispelo, you're going to soar. And that's why this is a mission in Maseches Avos. No, because that's what happened to Rav Elazar Hakanes. He started out kind of struggling. But he was the first one in, last one out. And all of a sudden, you know, he became among the Gedolei Atanaim. You know, that's inspiration. That's a mission in Maseches Avos. That's not a biography of Elazar ben Hyrcanus. You know, that's inspiring, that this is who we can become. So you have to start, you know? Rabbi Stark told me tonight is a special night. A mishmar, straight. Don't waste a minute. Don't waste a minute. No? There are people in other worlds who are kind of like glued to, right, the event. No? You know, they're hasmada, not to miss a single play. Rachman al-Islam. No? You have to, you know, you have to be such masmida. You have to see to it that your commitment to the Torah Hashem far outweighs anyone's commitment to any other culture and value. No? What do you mean? We're the ones who exercise amelus. We're the ones who exercise hasmada. You have to be as excited as the sugya that you're learning as the Muslim and others are excited about a game. Well, but there's a world of difference, though. Whether you're traveling on Shabbos for a mitzvah pikuach nefesh, or whether you're traveling to the game. Well, one is a mitzvah rabbah, and one is chol Shabbos daraisa. No? And lishma is going to determine, right, how it is that you kind of link and emerge and grow in the Torah session. So you should have siyata deshmaya. To be able to express the shifos, the kochos nefesh that you have. Don't sell yourself short. Kadosh Baruch Hu created you, the Gemara Nida and Daflam, that you're wired to soar in the Torah session. Sometimes like stuff, like gets in the way, no? But you make sure, no, that you persevere, that you learn, that you chazah, that you daven. And Bezras Hashem will be all the gedula. You'll be zochet to incredible siyata deshmaya.